A very pleasant good morning to all of that are here, including our guests. We're so glad that you're here and hope and pray that you will benefit from our time together and that God has been glorified as we have gathered together. I wanted to show you this. I picked it up outside. It is a marvelous example of artistry. It is something that we can look and study for years and years. I'm not going to talk that long. But I wanted to point out to you just how amazing this really is. Now, unfortunately, I got it off the ground. It came off the tree up there. And it is now never going to progress. It is never going to bloom. It is never going to be really used for anything unless someone uses it in a fire somewhere. Nevertheless, it is a wonder to behold when you consider the artist who designed it and the creator who started the whole process from the very beginning. And when we start thinking about this kind of thing, we can decide whether we like this better or we like that better. For the rest of the limbs that are out there are already progressed to look that way on the screen. And so that is the design that the Creator made it to do. Unfortunately, this will never become that because it has been cut off from the life that it was receiving from the roots and from the tree itself. Now, here's my dilemma. Which would we rather be? Would we rather be this, or would we rather grow into something like this? You see, the same Creator that made this tree, one day, a couple of days later, He ended up making us. And we have continued to reproduce and grow and multiply as we were designed to do. And so it is totally up to us whether we're going to blossom into some radiant, glorious item that He designed us for, or whether we're just going to exist for a little while and then turn back to dirt. And so what is it that makes the difference? Well, that's what we're talking about in this series of studies that we are doing at the moment. And I hope and pray that we will both, all of us, be built up from this. Now, I'm not talking about trees, and I'm not talking about buildings. But here, how many of us, as far as a building is concerned, may look like that kind of building? Lopsided, falling down, I guess you could even use the word decrepit. Well, that was the subject of my last sermon in this series, and that is how decrepit we can become when we do not let the architect, the builders, do their job into making us what we can become. And it may end up looking like that. Actual building in France. And so you look at this and you say, wow, look at that. There's a big difference between this and that. And what I want us to all consider is, which do we resemble? Which do we want to resemble? More importantly, what does God want us to look like? Now again, I'm not talking about bricks and mortar or even trees here. I'm talking about us. And God being the architect and the builder and the framer of who we are and who we were designed to be. And so I want us to consider this lesson dealing with the blueprint that God has made for us to be built. And to see in a little bit more detail of exactly what He has a design for us to become. And the only thing interfering with that kind of picture is me. And so it is up to us where he will proceed. Now, first of all, what gives God the right to design us in a into his image, that which he wants us to look like? Well, James chapter 1 and verse 17, he clearly says every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So whatever design that we see that he has for us, then it's going to be perfect. It's going to be good. It's going to be fabulous. But we are the ones that will be interfering or will allow interference in this building process. First of all, let us all understand, people are made for relationships. It has to do with relationships. A relationship with him, certainly, and the relationships we have with each other. We run into people, don't we? And people we interact with, whether it's on the job or even in family or at the store, we are constantly dealing with other people. And some of these relationships will either build us up or will tear us down. As said in the Lord's Supper, decide whether we're tares or weeds or thorns, or whether we are the kind of fruit that God intends for us to become. So, if you will, take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 John. 1 John, I know that the adult class has recently studied this, and so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I do want to review with you what this says about God's blueprint for us. In chapter 1, verse 8, starting verse 7, you'll notice 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 all begin with the word if. And so it's laying down, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this. Some are good, some are bad. And so God is the one trying to open our eyes to see what his plan for us is. I'll start with verse 7. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So that's the kind of relationship that he wants with us, to walk in his light, have a fellowship with him and he with us. Now, if we say we have no sin, that, first of all, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, where we have messed up, where we have become broken down, decrepit, I've lost a piece here, the roof is leaking, so to speak. It says, if we will confess that, he is faithful and just to forgive. God will repair us. He'll put us back together. But if we say we have not sinned, it's not just going to be a problem. We make him a liar. And his word is not in us. So we can see that God has a plan for us, a blueprint. It's going to be looking similar to what we just read there. But there's more to this plan. He plans for us to be pure. He wants us to be perfect. And only by his touch will that occur. He says, my little children, I write these things unto you that you may not sin. That's what he wants. That's why we have this writing. That's why we have his word. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He can repair us. And he is not only going to prepare us, he's going to pay for it. He's going to pay for those repairs and has already done so. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also the whole world. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but for all to come to repentance, all to come to him, so that his handiwork will be obvious, not only to those that fellow soldiers of the crime, of the cross, but for the whole world to see. He's wanting also a plan for us to have righteous living in our lives. You'll notice at the beginning of verse 3 of chapter 2, it says, by this we will know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. If. Biggest word in the Bible. If you don't pay attention to the word if, you're overlooking the conditions on which these things are laid. If we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. He's already accused them of that one time. Is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we live in Him. Now, if you go through this book, and you're going to mark in your Bibles, underline, mark somehow, point, notice the many times the word K-N-O-W is used. That word is a word that means extreme intimacy. I'm really connected with this. I know what's going on. And you'll find it there. My count was 18. I think I've even skipped some. 18 times it mentions this in this book. This short little book. God wants us to know Him. He's wanting this relationship, this purity, this righteousness that only He can give us. When we do it our way, we mess up. And He lets us know that. Verse 15 and 16, do not love the world or the things of the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it is from the world. It goes on giving more relationship to that. We have got to understand, we're either for Him or against Him. We're either playing a game with the world. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no such thing as putting your right foot in and your right foot out. And you take your foot and shake it all about. And we do the hokey pokey. And that's what it's all about? No way. That doesn't work with God. We're either going to be all in, and it's not just going to be a foot, but the whole being. Or we're not. And so this is why it's so important for us to understand the blueprint. And being that the blueprint that God has made for us is perfect, when He gets through building this, we are complete. And the kind of individual that will shine bright with radiance in this dark world. And that involves the idea of a love relationship. Do you see what kind of love, or behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us to be called the children of God? And so we are. And the reason why the world does not know Him is that it does not know Him. They're not following what God would have us to be. And He wants us to be able to love Him as He loves us. He plants us. He wants us to grow like His creation, not what the world would make. And so when we understand how much He loves us, and that He compels us in this chapter to go on and also be empowered by that kind of love, oh, what a marvelous building that will be. It says, by this we know God, verse 16. Because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We see it displayed in Him. We are supposed to replicate that in us and interacting with one another. And whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart to him, and how does the love of God abide in him? It doesn't. My little children, let us not love in word and in tongue. It's easy to say, I love you. It's not so easy to demonstrate it, but let us love in deed and in truth. This is the commandment that we received in Him, the name of Jesus Christ, that we are to love one another as He gave us command. So we might know him. We might have that intimate relationship with him. And so because of that relationship, we will be able to grow and let him make into us exactly what he wants us to be. However, something has got to happen to us before he can actually use this stack of materials that is in this body. What's got to happen is I need to understand I'm not the builder. I'm a stack of materials, in this case a bag of dirt, and he is going to make this into something of magnificence if we let him. And so we've got to start in the right, with the right attitude, and that is God's house will match his plan. And being that it is his house, he has the distinct power and authority to make us what he wants and to change us how he wants, to use us when he wants, and to take us where he wants. And it is all because we belong to God. Jesus makes this very clear. I hope you do not react wrong to this. In Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 7, he tells this parable. He says, which of you, having a servant or slave, plowing and tending sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once, sit down and eat? Or will it look this way? Will he not rather say to him, prepare for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten? Gird yourself and take care of me till I have eaten and drink, and then you can eat. Is that the way slaves are treated? Well, in this story, it is, of course, we can see, and he says, and so likewise, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, me, a bag of dirt, when I've done everything that I have been commanded, we are still unprofitable servants, for we've only done what is our duty. They lived in a time where there were a lot of people in debt. These were people that could not pay the loans, and so they had to sell themselves and for a period of time. But we serve a loving master. He will not mistreat. He will not abuse in any way. Every good and perfect thing comes from him. So we're worthless servants. We've only done what is our duty in order for him to be able to magnify us. That has to do with several elements taken from this parable. They have to understand there is an idea, unfortunately it's getting more and more foreign today, and that is there must be respect for authority. Authority. Learning how to honor those who are in power over us. It starts with parents. Then it's maybe a teacher, then it maybe is police, and then employers, and such like that. That kind of respect is disappearing from our land. It's supposed to be taught when the child is 2 years old. That's why that's called terrible twos. That's when parents are all, oh, this is God giving us a gift. This child is saying no to everything. Yes, why? So we can teach them respect for authority. The reason our world is going down the tubes right now is because that's not occurring. Homes have broken up to where there's not two parents, not a male and a female. It takes both to be able to be perfect. And it's a breakdown in our homes, and it is causing a cascade of disaster everywhere we look. And that's what that story is telling us there. Learning how to respect authority is important. After all, remember the instruction God gives us, Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm looking at you. The first verse says, obey your parents, honor your father and mother. which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and that you may live long upon the earth. I saw you mimicking it. Good. And they should do it. And they should honor, learn how to honor. And the very fact of how long they're going to get to live depends on it. I can give you so many stories about that. Where they did not learn that. They did not learn that kind of honoring and respect for authority. Because their life is snuffed out with riotous living and behavior. Whether it's from lead poisoning or drug poisoning or just other means, they just die too soon. And it's so very important that we learn that. Parents, don't ever let down your children so that they cannot learn such a precious and important principle as that. Only God's plan works. This is the difference between the two builders that Jesus told us about in Matthew chapter 7. You know this. You don't have to turn to it. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto the wise man who built his house on a rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, I will liken him unto the foolish man that built his house on the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, wind blew, beat upon the house, and it failed. And great was its fall. Why? He did not do the blueprint. He did not follow what God says. So when we do, let him build us In the manner that we're supposed to be, we will have a foundation that will last forever. God's way will stand up to adversity no matter what kind of storm may come, what kind of problems may hit us from the side or blind side. We must let him build us according to his blueprint. And when we do, behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning or variation. In other words, this is one thing where there's not even any wiggle room. It is straight as an arrow. There is no bending in it whatsoever. Every good gift, every perfect gift, God's blueprint is perfect. So we need to realize God desires for us to let only God build us. Only. He's faithful. He's trustworthy. And he looks for ways to lift us up. He's the only one that can make us fly. He's the only one. His plan is the only plan that really works in this life. No, we might not be able to see very far in future. We might not be able to plan for tomorrow. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, don't worry about tomorrow. It's got enough problems of its own. But that doesn't say live just for the moment. We have got to put him first in everything that we do and let him take care of the future. But I liken to this unto, if I were to pick up the youngest child over here and offer him or her a blow pop, his favorite color, with a surprise in the middle of that chewing gum that you can blow pops with, you know, blow bubbles with, or $50 bill. Guess which one he'd choose? He'd choose the blow pop. Why? Because he's a child. Ladies and gentlemen, are we children still? Why would we take the immediate gratification of this or that or this until we forget
the bigger picture of eternity. There's too many children walking around in adult bodies today. Just look at the news. You'll see them right and left. We are to live for Jesus now, and He will make us right. Do we want that to be, or something like that, to be the picture of what we end up looking like? You can just tell from that face, that fella has lived a rough life. Lots of mistakes, lots of injuries, lots of regrets. You can just tell from that picture. Do we want that kind of picture on our epitaph, at our funeral? Or would that be a better one? Someone's just glowing. Glowing with joy, glowing with happiness, glowing with the joy of the Lord and that He is radiating through us. We decide what it will be for you and for me every day, every decision, everything we do. My urging this morning is please consult the blueprints. They're perfect. It's up to us. Who we let make us, mold us, and shape us. God gives another illustration. I am the potter, you are the clay. Am I going to be hard clay? Am I going to be difficult? I used to do a lot of that when I was younger, and as you got that clay there and you start spinning around, then all of a sudden, plunk, 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 oh man. There's a clod in there. There's no way to fix that. Except you've got to dig it out, smash it down, and start over again. Does God have to do that with us? We need to get rid of our lumps so that He can mold us into the structure of beauty that we would want. Do you hear the voice of Jesus calling? How will you respond? Let it be toward heaven in His way as we stand and sing.